Hi, this is Drew, and thanks for listening to our podcast. Hopefully, you've been enjoying our show for a while now, but if you're a brand new listener, then the next 50 seconds are not for you, so just go ahead and fast forward a bit. I just wanted to ask our longtime listeners to consider becoming patrons of The Drew Marshall Show, because by throwing us just a few bucks each month, you'll be helping what many tell us is the most brutally authentic spiritual show they've ever heard stay on the air. Look, as loyal podcast listeners, you've been getting the same programming our radio listeners have been hearing live Saturdays 1 to 5 for the last 16 years. Except you get to hear everything commercial-free, you smart consumer, you. Well, because of a brand new arrangement with our studio, our expenses have now gone through the roof. And to be brutally honest, we could use the help to cover those costs. So just before you go to bed tonight, maybe you could stop by our website and click on the giant click here to become a patron sign. And if a whole bunch of you were able to scrounge up like $4 per month, then individually your $4 would have just made a massive difference in helping us cover what it costs to bring you the Drew Marshall Show. Okay, that's it. Sorry to bug you. Now on with the show. I hope you have a good sleep tonight after you become a patron. Usually I...
You pointed at your mic. You went like this, and I turned it on. That's our signal.
I just went like that, like I had the backward thing. Like yeah. I'm getting ready to point.
Sorry about that. Let's try it again.
You're not going to do it.
No, I'm not.
Throw me under the bus. Hey, it's our terrorism update time with the bomb Mubeen Sheikh. Ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative. He's the author of Undercover Jihadi. You want to join us as the bomb gives us the truth about the latest acts of terrorism in this crazy world of ours. And you also want to check out his website, fusionintel.com. Fusionintel.com.
Or cooking
spot. Hey, Mubeen, tell me about this website. What's going on with that, man?
Well, I partnered up with some friends in the U.S., and we're trying to get some stuff going. I needed the institutional white guys, and they needed the competent brown guys. So... There you go.
Nice. And are they like Secret Service-y kind of ex guys or something? Or no, you can't. You could tell me, but you know, who are these guys?
Their bios are up there. One's an ex CIA guy, undercover as well, counterterrorism guy, and another's a Navy pilot, more on the business end of the thing. But
right. So he served drinks on the flights. Okay. Got it.
He was a fighter pilot. Yeah, he's.
What'd he fly?
I have no idea.
A plane. Is his nickname Goose?
Oh.
All right, let's talk about the returnees, because that's kind of big in the news a lot these days. There are people freaking out that we're letting some folks who went over there to become ISIS people, we're letting them back. Are we letting them back, Mubeen? Should we let them back, Mubeen? What about the women and the children? What about the wives and the offspring? What are we doing here, man?
Yeah, no, it's a big problem everywhere, of course. We are not letting them back, contrary to, you know, some popular belief, I guess. I mean, there was some discussion early on, but I think the government realizes, especially in an election year, that having any kind of ISIS returnee situation, not going to be good. We've had some people come back secretly, sometimes not so secretly, overwhelmingly. Well, there's about 12 to 15 who have come back, were members of ISIS proper, half of whom are women and children. So the numbers are very low in Canada. There's a bunch who are stuck overseas, of course, in Kurdish custody, and different countries are taking different approaches to them. So, you know, Britain, Australia, Belgium, Denmark, they are stripping citizenship and basically leaving people with, if they have a dual citizenship, if you are an Iraqi Australian, then your Australian part is gone and you're back to the Iraqi default, which means, of course, the Iraqi government can now prosecute you. And, you know, they're executing ISIS members over there. So
wow.
Others, of course, they're trying to say, well, look, if you can get yourself to a consulate, fine, we have a legal obligation to give you your paperwork. And there's a whole bunch of consulates in Erbil, which is not too far from where they are in Kurdish custody. But for Canadians and Americans, and I believe also Brits, the embassy is in the green zone in Baghdad. So good luck getting inside that green zone. I don't even think they would survive the journey because you have a whole, you know, slew of characters looking to take their pound of flesh from them, literally.
Yeah, literally. Tim?
Yeah, but Mubeen, you were, quote-unquote, changed, healed, whatever you want to call it. Are these people turning them around? Are they able to be turned around? I guess because that's the big concern here is they did all these horrible things. They were thinking these horrible things. Why are we letting them back in? Can they be changed?
Yeah. And I mean, I should say that in as much as, you know, I was an extremist, I was a supporter, a cheerleader, I never actually ended up going. I thought about it. I could have very easily have become a foreign fighter. This was in the Chechen context. So I get that. But again, I mean, what they have done is just, of course, we're all horrified by them and so on. But look, it is true that people do change, right? And even people who have blood on their hands can change. But this is a lot of theoretical, abstract conversation that we're having. You know, my de-radicalization process is very normal, natural. You know, these people, they've been caught. They were with ISIS for many years, for several years, and it's only now that ISIS has lost that now we're starting to see them, because the Kurds, of course, want to offload the citizens of these foreign countries back to their countries of origin. And the problem is that we're going to bring these people back, and there's problems of gathering evidence for successful prosecutions. Our Commonwealth system won't even give them that much of a sentence, assuming, I mean, what you can prove that they did or didn't do. Hmm. All they got to say is, listen, my detention was illegal, and I was tortured. And any statement of confession that I've given or any evidence obtained by the Kurds is not acceptable. And so, you know, we may start to see these sorts of cases, you know, fail in court. Keep in mind now, in the Canadian context, very, very low numbers. But in the UK, 400 ISIS returnees who have returned. And how many court cases are you hearing about in the British media? Not very many.
Wow.
And that young woman, her son just died.
Yeah, her third son, right?
Yeah, like something like that.
I don't know this story. Fill me in, Mubin.
Yeah, Shamima Begum, British teenager, Bangladeshi background, left when she was 15. So, you know, very young age, of course. Went over to marry her jihadi boyfriend. Of course, you know, he got killed after a few months. So your job there in the so-called Islamic State is to make jihadi babies. I mean, that's the point. So that's what she did. So the next husband got killed. And then they passed her to a third guy, and so
I'm sensing a pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened is so now they're appearing in the media, and there she is with her child, and now everyone's like, oh, she's a British citizen. We should save her. We should bring her back. She's a teenager, and she didn't know what she was doing. And I do accept that argument. She was very, very young. You know, decision making is totally degraded at that point. You know, physically, our brains don't start developing until we're 25. So I accept all that, but there are also consequences for those actions, right? And this is what now we're looking at. So her most recent child did sadly pass away in Kurdish custody. But of course, you know, she took these kids and had these kids in places where, you know, these things were not around, or like medical care was not available. And it's not like she had a choice, right? Like, once you go over there, they know exactly what they want of you. So,
all right, let me ask you, being a Muslim yourself, would the real faith change these people?
Well, I mean, when argument gets made, sure. I mean, those who do eventually renounce their extremist views do so because of proper religious instruction. All right? That's usually the main reason. And myself included, that's what I went through. I saw the proper understanding, interpretation from, you know, individuals who were far more knowledgeable, who were elders, you know, who had that statesman-like disposition, you know, as opposed to these young, you know, militant internet-type activists. So, this is, you know, where most people do turn back. They come back because they realize, okay, this is actually the proper way to do it.
Yeah. Wow. On the line with Mubin Sheikh, of course, he's an ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative, author of Undercover Jihadi. Website is fusionintel.com. Mubin.
Man, you got that down pat.
Yeah, I've got it tattooed on my left arm right now. So,
but it's upside down, so be careful.
Okay, so I have read a couple of things about ISIS recently. The one thing I can remember is whatever leftover remnants, you know, the few buddies that are left, they're cornered in this one little town, and we're just waiting to kind of take them out, and they're almost done. We're almost all finished with them. Is that true?
It is, for all intents and purposes, true. The so-called caliphate, or the caliphate, as I call it, the caliphate cookie has crumbled, and it is, for all intents and purposes, gone. But ISIS is, of course, not out. Remember, they have, so the town is called Daghouz, and just, I mean, right now as we speak, there are thousands, and they're saying up to 50,000 civilians in this little town, and they're discovering a very complex network of tunnels and caves, and it will take a very long time to clear these areas, of course, before the public will be able to see them. But that is true. That is what's happening. They're all cornered in one place, and we're waiting for the final end of these people.
Final countdown. But is it, I mean, okay, let's say, I don't know how that would even happen. Let's say all the civilians sneak out, and all that's left is the ISIS folks, and they bomb the town, and that takes care of the tunnels as well. The mentality, the ISIS mentality, the ideology, will that ever actually die?
It will not die, not at all. I mean, if anything, they'll just lament the loss of the caliphate, and that in and of itself becomes a motivator and driver, right? And then, of course, you have the ancient mythology, right, that can develop out of this, is that, oh, we had this great caliphate once, you know, and we can do it again, you know, and so this kind of mentality will continue to persevere.
What about Obama's son, Biden? His son is out there. Is he a bad guy?
If he's fighting ISIS, he is not generally a bad guy.
Did you like how I said that?
Yeah, it was confusing.
Obama's son, Biden?
Oh, it's an oxymoronic statement.
What do you think? Should I stay with that? No, maybe not. No one else got it. Okay. Osama bin Laden's son is out there. Is he a bad dude, or are they going to get him next?
Osama bin Biden. Okay.
I just got it.
Oh, my goodness.
No, really? I wanted to let you finish.
It's your pronunciation.
Of course he's a bad guy. He's been groomed by his father, of course, to be, you know, the next leader. They're trying to do this, hereditary leadership, whatnot. We'll see how much that works out. But we know that he was staged up in Iran last. I'm sure when people hear the U.S. saying, oh, he's in Iran, people will think, oh, the U.S. is just, you know, beating the drums of war against Iran now. But the reality is that Iran had been helping Al-Qaeda for many years because Iran, like Al-Qaeda, sees the U.S. as the greater Satan. And so, you know, has sheltered them in place and allowed them to operate, move between Pakistan and other areas. So we're definitely on the lookout for Bin Laden Jr.
For Jr., yeah. Okay, yeah. Final question for Mubeen Sheikh. Mubeen, India versus Pakistan, and I'm not talking about a test match here.
Good.
Yeah. Who are the bad people?
Ooh, well, I wouldn't say, who is good or bad per se, but I'll say that, look, the Pakistanis and Indians have been at it for a long time. Of course, a lot of this stuff post-colonialism, the British were running the entire area. They broke off pieces. It became India and Pakistan. There was a piece called Pakistan. It's now called Bangladesh. And there's a little bit, there's a large bit in between Pakistan and India called Kashmir.
That's where they make suits.
That's
and
right.
The great song.
Yes, the scarves and sweaters. And
yeah.
Kashmir is really the hot spot. There are a number of proxy groups supported both by Pakistan and India that are, you know, fighting in between or fighting there between the two borders. Most recently what happened is the Indians got peeved, said we want Pakistan to act on a terrorist camp. So the Indians claimed that they flew in. The Pakistanis didn't even see them. They bombed and killed 300, terrorists. Pakistani proxies, and on the way out, one jet was downed by the Pakistanis. They captured the pilot, and a few days later, you know, they did send it back. But this escalated conflict between the two, especially media in India, is just like atrocious when it comes to fake news. Like, it's fake news times. I mean,
so you think Fox is bad, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently, his mustache went viral.
What?
The pilot's mustache went viral. It was just
curly?
Yeah, it looked like a Movember mustache, but not ironic.
Yeah.
People, of course, were thinking, oh, is this going to escalate? But thankfully, it did not, because the two are, of course, both nuclear powers. huge economies, which, you know, bigger powers want access to, and we can't have that if you're fighting a war. So they told everyone, hey, cool it, keep it down, business as usual.
Knock it off. Well, listen, I love the way you dumb it down for me, man. Thank you so, so much. I really do. No, seriously, you're a great communicator, and that's why we have you on the show regularly, and you're just a good dude anyway. We got to get you back into the studio, and we'll get you and Tarek Fatah fighting against each other.
He won't show up. He will not show up. He's scared. He's scared.
Yeah. Well, that's because he thinks you're a member of the Ta-la-la-la-la-la band. So,
I'll show you the video I did. I actually got to blow something up at a military range. I went down to the Air Force Special Ops again, and Florida, and they let me blow up a truck, and it was special.
It's
brought me, it brought me back.
It's like an old SCTV skit. He blowed up good. He blowed up real good. Was that Saturday Night Live or SCTV?
No, it's SCTV. Well, you're right.
They told me not to joke and say Allahu Akbar before I blew it up. So
yeah, so you didn't. Good for you. Good, you're good little good Muslim Canadian boy. You are. Yeah. Dude, I love hanging out with you and talking to you, so come back again soon, okay, man?
I will do, guys. Good. Right. God bless. Thank you.
Thanks. Mubin Sheikh on the Drew Marshall Show.